How many of you have ever had a roommate before? Okay, so hopefully your roommate wasn't quite like that one. But hey, I'm so glad you're here today. You picked a great day to be here. We're actually starting a brand new series entitled Bad Blood. And I'm really excited about this topic of bad blood. Bad blood seems to be everywhere. What is bad blood? It's simply when you have something, there's something between you and somebody else. Maybe it's the coworker that's always making your job harder. Maybe it's the neighbor that just does little things to get on your nerves. After all, you didn't choose your neighbors. You have the neighbor that gets on your nerves. Or maybe it's the family member that when the holidays come around, you just cringe at the thought that you're going to have to spend some time with that family member and you can't wait for it to be over. We all have bad blood at times. Now, there's an outline in your service program that might kind of help you better follow along with the message this morning. But number one, bad blood can infect any relationship. Bad blood can infect any relationship. This series isn't just for people with strained relationships. This is for people that have healthy relationships. People that you look around your life right now relationally and you say, things are going pretty well right now relationally. But we all know this to be true about bad blood. It can come at any moment. With the healthiest relationship, with the best roommate, with the greatest marriage, with a great coworker, with a great relationship, bad blood can happen in just a moment. Then what do we do? What do we do when bad blood creeps into a relationship? Over the next 4 weeks, that's exactly what we're going to dig into. And we're going to talk about what we do when bad blood creeps in. And I really believe this, that if you'll stick around these 4 weeks, you won't just grow spiritually, but you'll have a better life. And this is why. Because we believe that happiness comes from peace with God, peace with myself, and peace with others. And we're going to talk about how we can have peace with others. I thought about opening up this series with a personal story about when I had bad blood with somebody. I was a senior in college. I was extremely busy. I had a lot of things going on. It was my last semester, and it had affected my performance at work. I had a part-time job there, and I had worked for this gentleman for about 2 years, and we had a really good relationship, but it had affected my work performance, just everything going on. And he brought me into his office, and I knew what he was going to tell me. He brought me in, he said, have a seat, and he talked about how enjoyable our work relationship had been and how he was thankful for me, and I was like, okay, just cut to the chase. I know it's coming. And he said, but hey, this is what's going on. You need to step it up. Your work has just not been what it's been in the past. It just seems like you're not as productive as you once were. And I agreed with him. I was like, you're right. But then the conversation took a little bit of a different twist. He started saying things, accusing me of things that weren't true. He started saying things like, you don't even care. He started saying things like, you're not giving your best in any area of your life. You're just kind of, you don't care about anything. I bet you're hardly going to your classes. I bet you have a lot of demerits. The college that I went to, when you got in trouble, you got demerits. I bet you have a lot of demerits. And I said, sir, that's not true. He got a little upset, and he slid up his chair, and he leaned over the desk and said, do you want me to prove it to you? Said in a normal tone of voice, yes, sir, I would like for you to prove it to me. And that got him even more upset. He said, okay. He picked up his phone right there by his laptop, and he called the demerit office, and he put it on speaker so I could hear everything that was going on. He said, I need you to look up the demerits for Nathan Stone Street and tell me exactly how many he has. It was the end of the semester. And the lady, she said, okay, let me check for a minute. She said, he has 15 demerits. Now, the college I went, you might say, 15 demerits, that's terrible. The college I went to, at the end of the semester, to have 15 demerits is actually really good. So he was like, okay, thank you. Then he was like, well, now I'm going to call the office that keeps records of all the classes and how many classes you go to and how many times you're late. I'm going to call them. So he picks up the phone and puts it on speaker, dials the number, and he says, I need you to look up the class attendance for Nathan Stone Street. And she said, okay, let me check it out. And she said, well, he's gone to 139 classes this semester, and he's been late to three of them. So 139, he's been late to three of them. And he hangs up the phone, and he says, see, I told you, you've been late to three classes this semester. I was like, man, first thought was, I'm glad you didn't check my class attendance when I was a freshman in college. But second of all, 3 out of 139, I mean, for me, that was pretty good. And you know that feeling that you get inside of you when you're accused of something you didn't do? Or when somebody says something that's just not true at all, and they're totally making a statement that they have no proof to back it up, that feeling you get in your stomach, that's what I had. Now, before you think I'm such a good college student, I'm going to tell you the rest of this story a little bit later, and you might change your mind. But the truth is this, bad blood can develop at any moment. Me and my boss had a great relationship, and we had had one for 2 years. But in just a moment, bad blood can develop. What do we do when that happens? Because when we have bad blood in a relationship, it affects the quality of our lives. We could say it this way. Our satisfaction with our lives is often tied to our satisfaction with our relationships. Our satisfaction with our lives is often tied to our satisfaction with our relationships. Now, you know this to be true, because maybe you have a relationship that's characterized by bad blood at work, home, or with a family member, or something like that. Not only is it a bad situation, but it's affected you. It's made your life worse. It's caused some pain, right? It's caused some hurt. It's caused some anger. And when you step back and you look at how that bad blood, the relationship that you have bad blood with, how it's affected your life, you would say, the quality of my life has gone down. Now, here's the big idea we're really trying to communicate the next few weeks. The big idea is this, number two, is that you can have peace about the relationship without having peace in the relationship. Even if you think of the person you have bad blood with right now, the situation you have bad blood with, you might not go out to lunch with them today after church, or you might not grab coffee with them this week, or go on a shopping trip with them next weekend, or vacation with them, but you can still have peace in the relationship. Now, we get this idea from Paul in Romans chapter 12, and that's where we're going to be this morning. We get this idea from a few different passages, but in Romans chapter 12, we're going to see what Paul has to say about this, because we didn't just come up with this in one of our staff meetings. In Romans chapter 12, this is what Paul says at the end of verse number 18. He says, live peaceably with all men. Can we say that together? Live peaceably with all men. All right, I can tell some of you guys did not get your coffee this morning. We're going to act like we got our coffee this morning, okay? Let's say it's going a little bit stronger. Ready? Live peaceably with all men. Now, you read that, and you really think about it. You're like, live peacefully with all men? That ain't going to happen. Like, Paul, you never had a mother-in-law. Paul, you never had in-laws. He certainly didn't have my coworker. Paul, you never had a roommate. Because if you had a roommate, if you had a mother-in-law, you would not say live peaceably with all men. Paul, this is like some lofty dream that's impossible. It's one of those times in the Bible where it says something and you're like, okay, it says that, but I'm never going to do that. That's impossible. Maybe in that time period, but definitely not in 2016. Come on. But to understand the weight of these words, you have to think about who it's coming from. To really understand some of these Bible passages, we have to think about where it's coming from. It's coming from Paul. Paul was up to his eyeballs in bad blood. Paul had a lot of bad blood with a lot of different people. In his previous life, he killed Christians. In his previous life, he hated Christians. In his previous life, his goal was to destroy Christianity at large. He put Christians in prison. But in a moment, he had his life changed by Jesus. Jesus totally changed him. And Jesus changes lives. Jesus changes people. And no matter where you are in your life, Jesus loves you and Jesus cares about you. And the message of Jesus, the gospel, can change your life. Jesus can take you from one place and put you into a whole different place. And this is what had happened to Paul. Paul had experienced the gospel, and Paul found meaning and purpose and hope and joy in life, and it changed everything. And what happened was Paul went from being an enemy of Christians to throwing them in prison, to trying to kill them, to now trying to be friends with them. Imagine this. Paul had your family member thrown in prison last year. That's what he did. Now Paul comes over and now he wants to be buddy-buddy with you. Hey, I'm a Christian now. I love Jesus. Now you want to be friends with me? Like, my family member's still in prison. Like, I heard, like, my best friend's mom was killed because of your friends. And you were there. How would you feel? Can you see the bad blood? But he had bad blood on the other side too, because the people that he used to be friends with, the people that he used to team up with to go get Christians, his coworkers, he had now told them, I don't want anything to do with you. I'm done with you. I'm going to the other side that we used to team up to try to get rid of those people. Now I'm on their side. Here's Paul in the middle. He's got bad blood with the Christians. He's got bad blood with the people he used to run with. And Paul says, live peaceably with all men. Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing you are. I'm thinking, how can you say that with the situation that you're in? But to understand the weight of this, we got to check out a few more phrases in here. Early in Romans chapter 12, this is what he said in verse number 18. He says, if it be possible, live at peace with all men. Meaning, it may not be possible. It may not be possible to live at peace with everybody. Paul says, there were people I've tried to be at peace with, and it didn't work. There were people I've tried to be at peace with, and it just didn't happen the way I planned it. I planned it to happen. But on the other side, Paul says, there are some people that I thought peace would never happen. Like, I thought I would never have peace with that guy after what I did last year. I thought it would never happen. But the crazy things happen is now I have peace with them, if it be possible. Now you think about Paul, it's almost to consider. Paul was a follower of Christ. There was another time where there was another follower of Christ, Barnabas, a good Christian, two good Christians, two people that would have sat in a church like this. And guess what? They had problems with each other. You know what that shows me? That it is possible to have two people that love Jesus but have problems with each other. You know why? Because we're people. There's never going to be a time where we get along 100% with everybody. That's an impossibility. And Paul and Barnabas have these problems. And Paul's almost like, look, here's the good news. There are people that you think that you can never have a peaceful relationship with. It's possible. And there are people that you think, yeah, we're going to work things out, and it might not be possible. Hasn't that been true for your life? Hasn't there been times in your life when you're like, okay, we're going to be able to patch this up, and it just didn't happen? Hasn't there been times in your life when you look back and you're like, there were people that I had no, they were just, but now you kind of talk to them, and now you actually like being around them. The pursuit of peace, even without the promise of peace, is not a pointless pursuit. When it comes to bad-blooded relationships, the pursuit of peace without the promise of peace is not a pointless pursuit. Now, Paul gives us one more phrase in the verse. It's in the middle. That's the one that we don't like. You're not going to like this. This one makes you uncomfortable. This one is something that's actually, it tells us that we have to do something. And this is what the middle part of that verse says. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. Can we say that phrase together? Ready? As much as lieth in you. In other words, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If it be possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Have you guys ever heard the phrase, you do you? You guys heard that before? You do you. Okay, you do you. Okay, there's like three people that heard this phrase before, okay? I know more of you have, but you guys just like fell asleep or something. You do you. It's something that younger people say. It basically just means be yourself. Just do your thing. Just be yourself. You know, your friend, they have a job interview coming up, and you look at the job position and how great of a job it is. Then you look at your friend, and you're like, I don't think they're gonna get it. But you do you, man. You do you. You can get that. You know, you have a friend, and maybe they're going to go out on a date with somebody, and you look at that person, you look at your friend, and you're like, this is going to be a one and done, because that person's, but you do you, man. You just gel your hair and look good. Just be yourself. I want to change the meaning of it for a moment, because I think it's somewhat of an indictment on our narcissistic culture. But I want to talk about this as much as lies within you, as much as depends on you, on you do what you can do. Because in a relationship that's characterized by bad blood, where do you spend all of your mental energy? On the other person. If they would change, if they would start, if they would stop, if they would apologize, if they would do this, if they would do that, then there would be peace. Because what we do, if I had bad blood with somebody, like when I was in my boss's office, and I'll go back to the story in a little bit, I wasn't thinking about me. I was thinking about my boss and how much issues he had to talk about me. But I want to ask you a question. In a relationship that you have that's characterized by bad blood, what depends on you? What can you do to help bring peace to that relationship? What depends on you? Now, I'm going to try to illustrate this with a pie. How many of you guys like pie in here? You guys like pie? Apple pie? Yeah, make some noise, okay? Cherry pie? Okay. Okay, let's... Apple pie again? Okay, good. Okay, bad news. It's not going to be that kind of a pie. It's going to be a pie chart, okay? How many of you are math nerds and you like this kind of pie too? Okay, there's like five of you guys, all right? So this pie chart, this is going to represent the relationship that's characterized by bad blood. The blue part is going to represent them. The orange part is going to represent you. What you can do. Now you may look at the relationship that's characterized by bad blood. And you may look at that thing and you might say, see that 75%? If they would do this, if they would do that, if they would... But we're not going to talk about them right now. We're going to talk about the 25% that depends on us. Maybe we can apologize. Maybe we can be a little bit kind. Maybe we can say hello. Now some of you are saying, Nate, it's not that much. It's this much that depends on me. I've done so much. Okay, I understand. But my question is what depends on you? And you know what you need to do? You need to own the orange part. You got to own it. Because if bad blood is going to be healed, you have to own whatever depends on you. I know the 90%, that person's got problems. I know. But the 10%, you got to own. Because if you don't own it, you will never have peace about the relationship. And what I'm saying, this is hard. Like this isn't comfortable to talk about. But if we're gonna heal this bad blood, we have to own what we can do. You might say, I've done everything I can do. Here's my question: can you go any further? Is there something else that you can do? That something else you can try to do to bring peace to that relationship, to try to help out that relationship, to try to bring peace. You know, in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, you see a time where there was peace with man and God. It was beautiful. There was a time of tranquility, a time of what's called shalom. And we know, we look around the world, and thankfully we prayed for it earlier, and our hearts are broken by everything that's happening. And in our own personal lives, we long for this peace. We long for shalom. And God created shalom in the Garden of Eden. But what broke that? Sin broke that. Sin separated us from God. Sin, and we chose to sin. Sin removed us from God's presence. And this is what God did. God didn't just take a small step to try to heal the relationship. God took a huge step. He came down to this earth, and he went from heaven to earth, and he died on the cross for our sins. Now, why would he do that? He didn't have to do that. God did what God can do. God took a step towards us and said, look, I want to try to create peace in this relationship. And you know what he's doing? He's still doing that. You know, God has brought people in your life that are encouraging you spiritually. God has brought those people in your life to help you get closer to him. That's a step that God's taken in your life. God has brought family members. God has brought the word of God. God has brought these things to take a step towards you to help you grow closer to Jesus, because God pursues us and God loves us, and that's who God is. Now you may say, well, how much do I have to do to pursue peace? That's why you got to come back these next few weeks. Because in the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how much is enough. Like, at what point should you say, I've done everything, I can't do anything else? And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how to set boundaries that are appropriate and responsible, because you can be irresponsible with this. We're going to talk about how to set up boundaries where you say, I've done everything I can do. But this is why it's important, number three, to ask this question, what depends on me? Because peace is possible when you've done all you can do. Peace is possible when you've done all you can do in the relationship. Now I want to give you one step this morning, and we're going to spend the next 10 minutes or so, and we're going to wrap it up, talking about this one step that you can do this morning that will help you have peace about the relationship, even though you may not have peace in the relationship. Any golfers in the room? Anybody like golf? Okay, a few of you guys. I have recently retired golf the last few years, and I have settled for putt-putt. Are there any putt-putt people in here? Oh, I think there's a lot more putt-putt people than golf people, okay? But if you ever watch golf on TV, now, I know I just lost 95% of you. But in golf, well, let me get this golf ball over here. So we got this golf ball here. The pros, what they do, they have the ball down here. What they do, or if you're a golfer, you've done this before, because we see the pros do it. That's why we do it, you know? We don't really know what we're doing. We've just seen the pros do it, so we guess this is what you're supposed to do. But you go down and you look at it, and you look at the hole, and you look at the break of the green. When I used to golf, I'd go like this. I have no idea, other than I saw Tiger Woods do it one time. And I'm going like this. But the pros, like the guys that make a lot of money, they don't just do it. They don't just do that. Now, if you don't like golf, you don't care about golf, or golf is your number one napping recreation, just hang with me for a second, okay? So this is what the pros do. Let's just look at it from this angle. They take a long walk. Some of those greens are really big. They take a long walk, and they look at it from the other side. They look at the same area, the same green, the same ball, the same hole. It's like, why are you looking at it? You just looked at it. Some of you are saying, that's why I don't like golf. Stop looking and just hit the ball. But why do they take the long walk around and they try to eye it? They're trying to get a different perspective. They're trying to see it from a different angle. You know, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't change their shot. But every once in a while, it changes everything. You know, a step a lot of us can take is getting a different perspective of that relationship that's characterized by bad blood. Getting the perspective of empathy. Because what we do when we have bad blood is we only see it from our angle, right? And when we only see it from our angle, it doesn't heal anything. It doesn't make anything better. We only see it from our perspective. Now, there's a difference between sympathy and empathy. Sympathy is acknowledging what the other person feels. I know how they feel. Good, I hope they feel that way. I hope they feel bad. After what they said, after what they did, I hope they die soon. Sympathy is acknowledging what the other person feels. I know how they feel, but empathy is different. Empathy is actually feeling what the other person feels. I knew it was going to be quiet. Empathy is feeling what they feel. And the only way you can feel what they feel is by taking the long walk around and looking at that relationship, that bad blood situation, from the other person's perspective. That's the only way that we can have empathy. And a way that healthy relationships grow is through this matter of empathy. Sometimes what that will do is it will allow us to at least open up a dialogue where we can talk about these things. But I want to ask you a question. With the relationship that you have that's characterized by bad blood, have you ever walked around to the other side? Have you ever looked at it from their perspective? Have you ever said, okay, I know how I feel. I know it's been done. But I'm going to take the long walk around. And I'm willing to look at it from their perspective. When I think about Jesus and his life, not only did he know what we are going through, but he literally came down to this earth and felt what we feel. Notice what the Bible says in Hebrews 4. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. The gospel says that Jesus took the step of empathy. He didn't just know what we were going through, but he came down to earth and he felt what we felt. You know what he could have done? He could have said, I'm ending the relationship. It's over. People, humanity, you sinned. It's a done deal. You chose that? You did that? No, that's fine. If you want to do that, that's cool. You're staying there. I'm over here. Isn't that what we do sometimes? He could have said, maybe I'm not going to officially end the relationship, but I'm going to go far, far away from you, and I'm going to make you work your way back to me. We could never do that spiritually because we're all sinners, but he didn't do that. He didn't end the relationship. He didn't run away from them. The gospel declares that Jesus went through what we went through because he wanted us to have peace with the Father. Jesus was constantly pursuing peace. Jesus was constantly pursuing us. Jesus wants us. Jesus loves us. And Jesus says, I'm going to take a step towards them when maybe Jesus felt like taking a step away from us. When it would have been easier for Jesus to say, you do that? That's how you roll? Then you're going to get what you deserve. Because that's what I would have done. But rather than ending the relationship or walking away, he took a step towards us. In some of our relationships that's been characterized by bad blood, we've said, okay, relationship over. Or, I'm walking away from that person, you're going to have to do something to come back to me. That's what we do. And some of us, we aren't even open to the possibility of one day somehow having peace about that relationship. This is what Jesus says. Jesus says, wait a minute. I took a step towards you. I took a step of empathy for you because I love you. And this is what I'm asking, that you would take a step towards them. Now you may say, Nate, I got you. You want me to take the long walk around. You want me to feel empathetic just so I'll feel sorry for them. Just so I can think about their sob story and their childhood and what happened to them 10 years ago. I don't want to do that. I want to spend my energy being mad. I don't want to spend energy go walking to the other side. I don't want to put myself in their shoes. I don't want to excuse what they did. I'm not asking you to excuse what they did. But when we have a step of empathy and take the long walk around, it will better help us to understand why they did what they did. Did you get that? It will better help us understand why they did what they did. It can help you make sense out of the situation, because what happens is when people do me wrong, I personalize it. And a lot of times it has more to do with what's going on in their life and what's happening in their past than what's going on in my life and what I've done. And when somebody does something towards me and it hurts me, I'm like, why in the world did you just do that? When maybe it didn't have anything to do with me, but it has something to do with what happened to them in their past. And what we need to do is, I'm not saying you excuse them and saying, oh, well, that's fine. No, it's not fine. But it can help you make sense out of the situation and understand that maybe it's not you. Empathy, number four, may not heal the relationship, but it's a step towards having peace about the relationship. Empathy may not heal the relationship, but it's a step towards having peace about the relationship. You know, some of us are in relationships right now. We all are. We all have some type of bad blood. And we're sitting here thinking, oh, how can I? Empathy. I want us to get this. Hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. Some of us have been hurt by people, not because of us, but because we were just the object that all this hurt that they've had is directed towards. And because they've been hurt, they just hurt other people. It's like this response. It's some, they've had these things in their past, and like one wrong word just sets them off. Because hurt people hurt people. By the way, it should be, as followers of Jesus, love people because we're loved by God. Guess what we should do? We should love people. Forgiven people, we should forgive people. But sometimes when it comes to these bad blood situations, hurt people tend to hurt people. Here's the great thing about being empathetic towards somebody. Here's the great thing about taking the long walk around and putting yourself in their shoes. You don't have to tell them that you're doing it. You don't have to send them a text message and say, I just want you to know that I'm feeling empathetic towards you right now, and I know what you're going through. You don't have to write them a note. You don't have to Facebook them. Oh, wait a minute. You deleted them off your Facebook a while ago anyways. You don't have to Instagram them. Oh, you already blocked them. Isn't that beautiful? So this isn't like a thing where you got to go to somebody and tell them. No, you don't have to tell them. It's so beautiful. Because you're going to have peace about this relationship without even letting them know. I'm telling you, you want to have peace about the relationship? You've got to take the long walk around. So when I left my boss's office that day, I was furious. I'm not really an angry person most of the time, but I was pretty angry. First thing I did, I walked back to my dorm. Found my friends, especially found the friends that I have that I know didn't really like that guy. And I went and I told them the whole story. And I made myself look as good as I could. I told them everything. Can you believe he said that to me? You should have seen his face when he got off the phone, and I'd only been late 3 out of 139. He didn't know what to say. And I told them all about it. They're like, yeah! Yeah! I can't believe he did that. That's just the kind of guy he is. Because I found the people that I knew did not like him. Because I was making him feel. I was punishing him for what he did to me. I didn't punish him. He went home with his wife and had a great night. I didn't punish him. But in my mind, I was making him feel that. And I was getting all these people and I was like, yeah. What a punk. Can't believe he's on staff there. What in the world? You know what I had? I had a very ungodly and unspiritual response to the situation. That was very ungodly. And that was very unspiritual for me to go and get all these other people to go up against him. What I did was I took a problem that was between me and one other man that was my friend. I made it, I took it from this size to this size. That's what I did. That's on me. That's on me. And I went around and I told, and I, it didn't help out the situation. Didn't make me feel better. In the moment it did. But it didn't heal the relationship. I certainly wasn't being like Jesus at all. What I didn't understand is that he worked, I wasn't the only college student that worked for him. He had about 15 college students that worked for him. A bunch of lazy college students half the time. He just had a baby, their first baby. That had big pressure, and that had a lot of things that was new to him in his life. He was working 60 or 70 hours a week. He was getting pressure from his superiors that his department had to perform. He had all these things going on in his life, but I didn't think about that. I just thought of what he said to me and how he was wrong. But something happened, and it's beautiful because it healed our relationship. Like if he walked in, I would give him a hug. Like we're friends now. Although I didn't want to, although my pride said no, I finally took the long walk around, started thinking about everything that he had been going through. I started thinking about his life. I saw this from a complete different perspective, and I realized that he was not trying to get me. It was a lot more about what he was going through, and my response was very unhealthy, and we were able to mend it. Why? Because of the step of empathy. I wonder, who do you need to take the step, the long walk of empathy with? Who do you need to take the long walk of empathy and see this bad blood situation from their perspective? I know this is hard. I know this is painful. I'm not telling you to do this for them. I'm telling you to do this because your Heavenly Father did this for you. I'm telling you to do this because you will have peace about the relationship in your heart, even though you may never have peace in the relationship. When you take the long walk around and you go to the other side and you show a little bit of mercy like you've been shown mercy, you are being like Jesus. I wonder, what depends on you? What can you do? I'll tell you what we all can do. Start with me. Is I can take the long walk around and I could be empathetic and I could look at the situation from a different perspective, and that is what I'm going to ask you to do this morning. We're going to look at a few more steps over the next 4 weeks, but step one for us to have a healthy relationship in the midst of bad blood is taking the long walk around and being empathetic. I want to pray for you because I know that this is hard. Let's pray together. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.